you get wired up here with a microphone, and you pray for Brother Dana. I don't know. I asked that question this morning. I don't know. There was a few people that kind of put up their hands a little bit and said they'd never heard you preach. They kind of, well, y'all heard him now? Most of you in here, most of you heard him. Never heard Brother Dana preach. Raise your hand way up if you never heard
him. Okay.
Brother Ricky raised his hand up.
Sister Esther's still raising
her. He's working on it anyway.
I'm still working on it.
All
right. Well, if you enjoyed that singing, say amen. Always good to be in service with Brother Rick, Renee, and Josh. And a great job of singing there. Yeah. What a blessing. And good to see the rest of you here. I don't know, we may have some visitors. Well, I know we got visitors. And so we appreciate you being here also. I heard about a little girl invited her friend to church. And the little girl said, well, I can't go to your church. And she said, well, why? And she said, well, because my mama said we was of a different abomination. So I hope there's no abominations here tonight. I got good news and bad news. Good news, Esther's back with me. She had to tend to a great-grandchild being born. All of our girls, when they have babies, they want her to be the nurse. She has to be there in the room and all that other stuff and then take care of them for a couple of weeks. So I've been trying to tend to myself, and that's hard. So the good news is I had her back. This is the first Sunday I've had her back in 3 weeks because she does all the driving. And if she ain't with me, I just have to find my way. People say, well, they'll call me on the phone and say, where you at? I say, I got no clue. I'm just looking at the GPS. But I got bad news. I'm going to have to take her back tonight because the granddaughter's son, who's 2 years old, got a hold of some peanut butter, and he's allergic to it. So he spent some time at the hospital last night. And so they've been at the house since the baby's been born, but they went back home, but they're coming back. So that means she's got to go back. So she'll be there just a few days to help with her and her husband, whatever. You know what grandparents, great-grandparents do. We have 13 grands and 2 greats, and I know why they call them greats. It just keeps getting greater. I'm telling you, we just love those little babies and praise the Lord that he's put them in our family. All right, now here's the deal for tonight. I'm going to just highlight what I preached this morning. Then I'm going to plug in and close it out. How's that sound? I don't even know how it's going to come out. But so we'll just see. I just have to do what the Lord tells me to do. I done told you that this morning. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. And of course we began in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, emphasizing this matter of God setting things up for us that we want to happen. He'll bring it to that point and do all that needs to be done. But then the next move is going to be up to you. We illustrated that with Moses and raising the rod over the Red Sea. God was there, had everything set up, but Moses would have to raise that rod. We talked about it in the children of Israel having to put their feet in the Jordan River. The Lord was there to take them across, had everything set up, but they were going to have to put their foot in the water. We illustrated with the Jericho walls. God was there with full instruction to bring those walls down, but if they come down, they was going to have to walk around it. And We illustrated it with Lazarus in that tomb and been dead 4 days. But the Lord has made it in time, on time, and he has the power to raise him. But something's going to have to happen before he raises him. They're going to have to move the stone. And I use verse number 8 as a key verse to emphasize this matter of you first. Draw nigh to God, James 4:8, and he will, well, that's a promise, ain't it? It's a promise made upon a principle. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And thank God it is in his promise, if you'll obey the principle, that we can find out what is beyond where we are now if we'll just take the next step and be obedient and do what he wants us to do. But the thought that is upon my heart tonight for just a moment is the thought of the question, why not? Why not? In other words, why not raise the rod? Why not put your foot down in the water? Why not do what God wants you to do? When you balance it out and weigh it all out, why not walk around those walls? When you think of the benefits of doing that and the blessing, and why not move that stone? Or why not, as Elijah, bow upon your knees and pray for rain? Why not just go ahead and do what God wants you to do so that it will unlock the door for what only he can do? And believe me, God wants to do for our lives more than we want it done. But the only way that's going to happen is he's going to have to bring us to that place of where he is and you are so that he can do that marvelous work. He's got to bring you to the desperate hour. He's got to bring you to the trying place. He's got to bring you to the hardship. He's got to bring you to that confrontation to where you're going to have to make that choice. Lord, I know you've got things ready. But the question is, am I willing? And what he's got to do is get you willing. And I'm glad God's already got some places picked out in our lives that are not by accident. It's not by accident that they're between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. It's not by accident that they're standing at those rushing Jordan rivers. It's not by accident. When I think about Naaman with that leprosy, when the prophet said, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. It's not by accident that he's where he's at to where it is a desperate moment. To where he's going to have to do what has been asked of him if he wants done what he has come and he has asked for. Oh, it's more than just us in the simplicity, though it is simple, of the Christian life, of playing a little religion and just throwing up our prayers to God and saying, oh, well, I hope he answers this one, or I hope he answers that, and I hope this one comes to pass. No, it's a matter of God working on both sides. He's setting everything up right here for the answer. But he's setting everything up with you on the other side to get you ready for the answer. Isn't that the way God is? I mean, a sinner's not going to just wing his way right into heaven. God has provided all that is needed for redemption. But what he has done is he has brought that redemption work right to the sinner's door. He's done it all on this side. But oh, I'm glad in my life he did it all on the other side. I'm glad that he set my life up and brought me to the place of Holy Ghost conviction and my realization that I was at the end of my rope and hell was my next step. Somebody said, well, preacher, didn't you have a choice? I said, yeah, but it wasn't much of one. I was looking into hell. And I said, oh, this is not what I want. And he brought the two, he brought himself and me together with the right exact scenario. He already had it worked out on his side. He had to get it worked out on your side. His biggest work is not on that side. He don't have no problem with water. He don't have no problem with rocks. He don't have any problem with the other side. His problem is with this side. There's more work has to be done in you and in me to get us to where we're willing to claim and ask him for the work that he can do. Isn't that right? The big work is what he did in my heart. Oh, it was a big work of Calvary. It was a major, marvelous work of his son coming. He prepared it all. But I'm going to tell you something. That wouldn't have been much good to me unless he hadn't worked on my side and got me to the place to where I could hear the gospel. I mean, you think about it. Up until I was 14 years old, I'd never heard the gospel. I couldn't have told you anything about the Bible. I didn't know the word Trinity even existed. If I did, I wouldn't have known what it meant. And I mean, I didn't know nothing about it. But God in his providence worked on my side and brought me to the place where I could hear that gospel. And I knew I needed it when I heard it. And I cried out and said, yes, Lord. He said, okay. And the two became one. As God has worked out both sides to bring them together. To get you to where you will find out what, and you can find out what he can do if you'll just do what he tells you to do. So my question is, why not raise the rod? Why not just go ahead and step in the water? Why not walk around the walls? Why not go into, why not pray the prayer? Why not move the stone? Why not? And in my thinking of that, my thought is this. In all of those situations, things couldn't have got any worse. So why not? I mean, he's going to bring you to the place to where things, and it ain't a bad thing, hallelujah. If God gets you to the place to where it couldn't be any worse, then you're in the right place to get deliverance, because then you're going to hear what he's got to say. It can't get no worse than being between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. It's as bad as it can get. So why not just raise the rod? They preach, it's about as bad as I've ever faced it. Well, turn to him. Look to him. Cry to him. He's put you there for a reason, because he wants to become your answer. And that's the only place he can become your answer from. It is in those Jordan experiences. It is in those graveyard experiences. It's in those dry spells with no rain for 3.5 years that he can get. It's in that time of leprosy where you're just about gone, the flesh is eat up, that he can get your attention and say, hey, I've been trying to tell you, I'm here. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye. Call upon me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. I got you where you need to be. And if you're saved here tonight, you are saved because God got you to that blessed place of desperation and misery, to where you realize the only answer was what He had. And you cried out to Him. But why not? It can't get no worse. Blessed places where there's no place to go but to Him. Blessed places where there's no voices that can be heard but His. Blessed places where the need is so great that you realize it cannot be met on this side. You might as well go ahead and try the other side. Try the divine side. Try the God side. You tried the government. We've tried humanity. And we've tried education. And we've tried. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some things that when you get into that place, you realize none of those are the answer. What's going on in my life? I think I hear a voice from heaven, a call that says unto me, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Well, I would say to this world, why not Christ? Where else can you turn? Why not? Why not? Can't get any worse. And then I would say to you, why not? What else have you got left? What else? You look in each one of those situations. What does Moses have left? What are the children of Israel? They put all their energy to get there to that border. God has led them where that Jordan. What do you got left on this side? What's left on this side? There's nothing left on this side. What's Naaman got left? The prophet said, dip seven times. He said, well, I got two sources of water up in my country. It's much cleaner than this. Well, you may have, but it ain't purified you. It's not the answer to your need. What's wrong with just doing what he asked you to do? Oh, you come from help. You come for help from heaven. You couldn't be any worse. And what else have you got left? Wow. What do you got left? Other than the offer of the Lord, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. I will be your answer in your dire situation. Just sort of tied it up. Can't get any worse, why not? It's all you got left. But then this thought came to me. It won't take much. God ain't going to ask you to do more than what you can do. Huh? I mean, practice it. You know what that's all about? Somebody tell me what that's all about from what I preached this morning. Stepping down that water. He said, all I want you to step in the water. You can't step in the water? When he said to you, all I want you to do is call. All you had to do is call. All I want you to do is bow. All you got to do is bow. Everything he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know. Dip seven times the Jordan. You can do that. Even the hardest thing that I've read is had to move that big old stone out of the way. But surely, surely, those men that are there can get together and push and shove and do, humanly speaking, what humans can't do because God told them to do it. So they can experience what humanity cannot do, a resurrection from the dead. You get the stone, I'll get the body. So what are you doing? Well, that's what he said. Now you might have a few bruises. couple of scratches. You might mash your thumb somewhere along the way. You reckon that'd be worth a resurrection? Huh? How much would you put in on it? I mean, how much would you give if you knew it was going to straighten out somebody's life that you love? Instead of whistling Dixie and say, well, how does that the Lord handle it? Well, yes, he wants you to let him handle it, but he's going to put you in there somewhere. You're going to be doing some praying. There is something that you're going to be doing. You're going to be putting some legs on those prayers, feet on those prayers. You're going to have to give and go. Something's going to have to happen. And he's going to use you. I done told you. He's going to use you. But it won't be much. He ain't going to ask you to do much. Huh? Well, I think he wants me to go to church, be faful to church. Morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Whew, that's a big deal, ain't it? But it might be worth somebody crawling out of a grave. I often tell parents, yeah, I know it's a struggle. Keep them kids in church, but honey, it's better to keep them there and let them go to hell.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It'll take a little pushing and shoving and pulling, squabbling. Brother, I'm going to tell you it'll be worth it when you see them in heaven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
These are just some scrambling thoughts to go with the sermon this morning. I kind of like them. Why not? You first. Why not? God's got you set up for it. And I mean, if you're not to where you care or you desire, I'm not preaching to you. I'm just telling you, the day will come, some certain circumstance, to where you're going to need God, the worst in the world. He's going to ask you to do something simple so he can do something great. Something simple so he can do something great. Well, why not? Can't get no worse. It's all you got left. And he's not asking much. He's not asking much. I mean, they needed the wine for that marriage. Remember that? And he said, well, just fill the water pots. All I ask you to do. I ain't going to ask you to turn it to wine. You can't do that no way. So just I know how to work with things. I can do that. You just fill the water pots and get out of the way. Well, I just ain't carrying all that water. My mom and daddy make me. One of my grandyoungins said, did you have running water when you was? I said, yeah, we run and got it. Anybody here had to go get water out of the well? And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't too bad until it was wash day. Wow. Of course, I was a little advanced. We didn't have the scrub board. We had the wringer, you know. But you didn't want to get your hand near it, nor your hair. Well, but I'm here to tell you. It ain't much that God's going to ask you to do. It'll be what you can do and what he wants you to do. I mean, you may be praying for somebody in your family that you can't stand that they get saved. And you say, well, I will if you'll love them. Make your way over to their house and hug their neck. I mean, they will wonder all this world's going to hell because they see how us saints talk about each other. We can't stand each other, let alone the sinners. All right, now I've went to meddling that night. But I'm here to tell you, there are going to be some things in your heart that God's going to say, okay, we're dealing with that now. If you want what I can do for you, you're going to have to do what I want you to do. And we can behold some miracles. But he won't ask for much. He never has asked for much. And when I think of what the Lord has done for me and what he's asked of me, there is no comparison. It has been very minute. Matter of fact, I'd say it's really the least you can do. The least. What I do in this matter of salvation is the least I can do. It's not much at all. But if I'm going to witness, if I'm going to see, if I'm going to draw, I'm going to have to draw nigh to witness him drawing nigh and to see his hand work. And you imagine when them boys, whoever there was and how many of them there was, the pushing and shoving. I don't know how, the Bible doesn't say how long it took them. Doesn't say how many. Now, I don't think they put a big plaque up there either with all their names on it. They just did it because they wanted to see what Jesus could do. And once they pushed that thing out of the way, they stood back. And can you imagine what they saw when Lazarus came out? They knew he was dead. They'd done been in the funeral. It'd been 4 days. Ain't no question about this. And I can imagine maybe weeks, months after. I mean, this thing spread abroad, the Bible said. Everybody, people come to see Lazarus alive. I would too. J.F. Akers. Anybody ever heard J.F. Akers? Preached back in the 80s. He preached at our camp meeting 3 or 4 times when he was like 112, 113, 114. His hair was so white, and he looked like Moses. I mean, you can look it up on there's the newspaper articles and stuff. He died at 116. That's only because whoever was driving him, they had a wreck and got fluid on the lungs, and he died. But I'm going to tell you, he preached hard for. And you're going to think I'm joking. I mean, I've seen him preach for 2 hours. And we had that tabernacle there, Tri-County Tabernacle in Spruce Pine. And that building at that time, which snow collapsed it later, but that building at that time would seat 1,200, and there'd be people standing on the outside. And I heard somebody criticize. They said, well, the only reason why they come is because he's 112, 13 years. I said, duh. I said, I'd drive 100 miles just to watch a 113-year-old man breathe. He wouldn't have to do nothing. Just take a breath, and that'd be all I'd want. Can you imagine? Here's Lazarus. They know the stuff. They know they've witnessed everything. And they're saying, and can you imagine days after, and people said, hey, did you hear about Lazarus? Did you hear about, they said he died? And then they said that Jesus brought him. And if you was one of those guys, now you're not bragging, but you'd have to say it. Did I hear about it? Man, look at that. My hand right there. I mean, it's all scratched up. I thought I broke that finger when that thing slammed against it. My back's got bruises all over, but I don't mind that because I was there. So what'd you do? I pushed on the stone. I want to see what would come afterwards, and I got to see it, hallelujah. And I've been shouting over everything that came out of it, and God let me have just a little part in it. Not much, just a little part. So I say to you, you first, but when you consider where you're at, why not? It can't get no worse. As bad as it can get. He's got you in the right place at the right time to where you and him can lock up because he don't need you and he don't need me. But he wants to use us. He wants us to be a part of what he is doing. God, it's all you got left. Won't take too much. Least you can do. And then I'm on. Now, I had no intention of doing this tonight. I had that message this morning, but I just had it boiling in me. Why not draw nigh to Him? Why not raise that rod? Why not put your foot in that wall? Why not march around those walls? Why not pray for that? Why not move that stone? Why not dip down? Because here's the key to it. It's not one of your hopes. It's your only hope. Your only hope is to head in His direction. But you won't have to go far. You'll find out, as I said this morning, you ain't never going to be first. He'll be there when you get there.
Did you hear that?
Woo! You won't ever be first. He's setting everything up on both sides. So once you get up off your knees, you'll say, "Boy, God did this. God did this." It's your only hope. The only hope of the sinner. It's the only hope of the saint. It's the only hope in any ordeal that you're going through or any situation that you find yourself. All right, I got you where I want you. And I'm where you need me. So come unto me. Come unto me. I've come as far as I'm coming. Come unto me. Draw nigh to me, and then here, and you'll find out I've been there all the time. I'll stand at the door knocking. If you open that door, you're going to find I'm right there. If you seek me, you're going to find me. If you call, I'm going to answer. But the truth of the matter is, hey, child of God, that's the only hope we have is God, Christ, Jesus. So why not come to the house of God every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and saying, "Lord, I'm seeking You. Would You move in our presence in song? Let us not just come and participate in some religious stuff, but Lord, would You move on Your servant and speak to my heart as to what You want me to do? Lord, You know what needs to be done in my life and the lives of those around me. Lord, I'm looking to You." Did I read that verse right? Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Why not? It's the only hope you got, and it's the most blessed hope you got. I'm going to have my wife come and sing. And maybe the Lord would just like to settle this in upon all of our hearts. He may not be saying anything to you now, but He will once He gets you into those places where the Red Sea's on one side and the Egyptian army or the leprosy set in. It ain't long. Or it's been so long since there's been any rain. Or the Jordan River's overflowing. Or you can smell the stench of death. And you hear His voice say, "Well, draw nigh to me. Draw nigh to me. Just get in my presence, and my presence will be there. Just get in my presence, and my presence will be there. Let's stand. She's going to sing. And we'll listen for the voice of the Lord. Drawn. Can you help us sing it? Nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where draw me nearer, nearer, blessed.